Reformed Church.
I just wanted to read you something from Philippians 3, but I did just want to mention, because it's Easter, I think we know this, but I just wanted to make sure that it was known, that the thing with Easter is that most people do not understand, is just that the way that most people observe Easter is a celebration of what Jesus accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Like, people do actually believe that Jesus' resurrection was accomplishing something for them. There's a verse in Romans, and I don't have it for you right now. If I were to think about it, I think it's the end of Romans 6 or something like that, 5 or 6. But it says that Jesus was delivered up for our offenses, and he was raised for our justification. But that's actually a really bad translation. If you actually read a more literal translation, where it says he was delivered up for our offenses, which is talking about the cross, for our offenses, that word is the word for. But when it says that he was raised for our justification, that word for is not the same word for as the word before. There's two words that are translated for in the King James. But if you read a literal translation, the word for, when it says that he was raised for our justification, it is actually the word he was raised because of our justification. Meaning, Jesus, when he was raised, was not producing justification for us. His death, the cross, the sacrifice, was producing justification for us. He was raised because he had already made justification for us. In other words, his having made justification for us at the cross, it produced his resurrection. He was allowed to be raised because he had finished the work already. And it's Romans 4:25. New King James says raised because of our justification, meaning our justification happened, in other words, his accomplishing our justification happened before his resurrection, and he was raised because of it. So people use verses like this typically, though, especially in maybe wrong translations, to kind of say that Jesus' resurrection was accomplishing something for us, but it really wasn't. Hebrews 2 says that Jesus, it says that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And so it was through death that he defeated death. If you read Colossians chapter 2, it says that Jesus triumphed over them, over all principalities and powers, in the cross. So it actually talks about the cross, and it says that his triumph was at the cross. So the only reason why people teach the resurrection as his triumph is because it looks more triumphant, because he's alive now. Where usually in war, when someone dies, they're being defeated. They're not winning. But actually, Jesus' death, because he was fulfilling it on our behalf, which was his whole purpose, why he came, the cross. So let me just summarize this real quick, I'll get off this point, that the cross is the victory. In no way, shape, or form does the resurrection have anything to do with Jesus accomplishing victory. Neither does it have anything to do with him defeating death. Actually, he was raised because he had defeated death. He was raised because he had already done the work at the cross. He defeated death by fulfilling it. That's how he defeated it. He fulfilled it in his body so that none of us would have to experience that, okay? And neither himself anymore after that. So he fulfilled death, thus defeating it, fulfilling it, putting it away, putting it past us now, because the one death that was owed to every man, he fulfilled in himself. Therefore, going forward, there is no more death owed to any man. And so the defeat of death, and when life was provided, was at the cross. Read even the account of the cross, and it says the graves were opened. At what point? At the cross. Now, people even came out of their tombs after his resurrection, and I could explain why that is, but the graves were opened, and it was accomplished. Graves are open means that no one was bound to death anymore, that no one through fear of death, through bondage to death, no one would have to stay bound to death and in the fear of death, and that was accomplished at the cross. Again, so you say, well, are you kind of belittling the resurrection? Well, no, the resurrection is what Jesus was paying for. It's the spoils of war. It's actually the reward that he was paying for himself and all of us as well. So now, because death was defeated, Jesus could be raised, right? Because he defeated and fulfilled death, he no longer had to endure it anymore, neither do we. So Jesus was raised, and now also us with him. He brought many sons into this same glory with him. And so the resurrection is nothing more than the product he was paying for. But that is not the payment. And it's not the defeat of death. It was the spoils that he got after he defeated death at the cross. The cross, its completion, was the defeat of death, was the payment, was the ransom, was where everything was accomplished. And that's why Jesus said, it is finished after he died. He did not say it is finished after he rose, meaning that everything was done before he ever rose from the dead. He rose from the dead because that's what he was paying for at the cross. Really, really important. Okay, so I'll just leave you with that. But I'll just go to Philippians 3 real quick, and then I'll just read you something from here. And coincidentally, it is actually about resurrection, but this just happens to be what I was reading about. Philippians 3, verse 9. Philippians 3, verse 9. And it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Really super important that we put the context to this, that he's talking about Jesus' resurrection. When it says his resurrection, it's talking about, again, Jesus' resurrection. And Paul's saying, I want to know about that. I want to know the power of his resurrection. So this whole thing starts out with knowledge. I want to know the power of his resurrection. He says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. No, that is not talking about you suffering bodily or something. This is talking about like that I've been crucified with Christ. That we've been, that we've died through baptism, Romans 6 says, that we've died with Jesus and we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, and therefore we'll also be with him in the likeness of his resurrection. This is talking about how when we first received Jesus, we were given rest, our flesh was given rest, and that's that whole crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20 kind of thing. Fellowship of his sufferings, that's what that's talking about. That's what he goes on to say, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is a really important verse. He says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Well, Paul already had the resurrection, that resurrection life living on the inside of him. He's the one that wrote Ephesians 1 that says that the inheritance is in the saints, and the power that's toward us is the power that rose Jesus from the dead. He's the one that wrote that. So he already had the resurrection power on the inside. So what does he mean by, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead? He's actually talking about getting to know Jesus so that he might, in the flesh, lay hold and receive the things of Jesus' resurrection. And you know that because he starts out by saying that I might know. I want to get to know the power of his resurrection and how I've been, you know, crucified with Christ and given rest from works. But when he says in verse 10 that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that's the first part. And then he follows that up in verse 11 by saying, if by any means, meaning if I get to know Jesus, if I get to know Jesus, why am I doing that? Why am I getting to know Jesus and all the things he named about Jesus there? Why is he getting to know Jesus? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Might attain, he's talking about walking in Jesus' resurrection life. He's actually talking about laying hold on all the things that Jesus received in his resurrection. And that is available to us. Again, as I just mentioned, Ephesians 1, it says the power that's toward us, that means at our disposal, that's available to us, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So if it's available to us, it makes sense that Paul would say, if by any means, that means if indeed, he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, a couple things. Why does he say if? Like if indeed, like it's not a certain thing. Because it's through knowledge. That's why he says, and to this day, Paul has not yet attained to the resurrection of the dead. In other words, in his body. He did die. Now, it's not that he had to die. In fact, he knew. I don't know the extent of his knowledge, but he knew that he could attain to Jesus' resurrected form. God wants to conform us to the image of Jesus, and that means everything that it sounds like, right? That when the Bible says that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that's talking about Jesus' resurrected form. I know a lot of people don't really care for this, but it's the truth regardless, and that is that Jesus, everything he provided at the cross is what you see in his resurrection. That's the power that's toward us. And unfortunately, most Christians, especially today on Easter, will talk about the power that's toward them, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, but they will not agree with you if you say that you can actually walk on earth as in Jesus' resurrected, glorified state. People will still say that we've been perfect on the inside, but there's a day coming when Jesus comes back soon where everybody will get a glorified body, and that's the day of the resurrection. And, of course, it sounds a lot like Martha in John 11. Yes, Lord, on that day. But Those are the same people that will say the power that's toward us, you know, it's Jesus, you know, resurrection power living on the inside of me, and we'll sing songs about it, but we actually don't believe it. And I know we don't believe it because people will heartily disagree with you if you say that, one, that it's God's will for everybody to be raised from the dead, which should just make sense. If the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, it's, again, I said one time that it seems like a terrible waste of resurrection power if you can't raise the dead with it, right? Like why even say it? Why even say the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you if you can't attain to it? If you can't apprehend it, if you can't use it, then what's it there for? It's just there, stored, you know, kept inside of you until the day Jesus comes back. Then it's not toward you. The inheritance may be in you, but it's not toward you. It's not at your disposal. It's not available to you then. And people will say that they can use the power of God and they can receive the power of God in their life today, but the things that they name that the power of God can influence in their life are very, very, very small things. And usually amongst them is not the resurrection of the dead or receiving Jesus' same image of glory to our mortal bodies. That entails youth. That entails changing the actual form and the makeup of your body to look as youthful as Jesus does right now. That's what that means. This is what it means to attain to Jesus' resurrected form. Like, the funny thing is, it's actually so simple. It's actually more complicated to explain away how you have Jesus' same glory and resurrection power on the inside of you, but then you can't walk in his resurrected form. It's actually more complicated to explain that. It's so simple to know that I have that power on the inside of me, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, and it's toward me. It's available to me. And Paul is talking about that here. He's saying, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And you know that's not talking about Jesus' second coming. And how do you know for sure that's not talking about Jesus' second coming when he says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead? Because he says, if. He wouldn't have to say if it was about Jesus' second coming, because every Christian will be changed on that day. Every Christian will receive Jesus' resurrected form on that day. It's not going to be a matter of if. The reason why it's a matter of if at the time that he wrote this is because of verse 10, that I may know him, because it's according to knowledge. You need to know Jesus. This is why Paul did not just say that we have the inheritance in us and that we have the power that rose Jesus from the dead toward us. He said that I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Why is that important? That the eyes of your understanding are just called eyes. Why is it important that you understand the power that's toward you? Because if you don't understand it, you can't use it. The Bible says in Romans 5:2 that we have access into this grace by faith. That means there is something we do on our end that triggers a receiving from God. I mean, obviously, this is not anything unusual. It's exactly how you got saved. You believe something that Jesus already did, which caused your receiving. And as believers, if you want to walk in God's resurrection power that rose Jesus from the grave, if you want to walk in that, it is toward you already, but your eyes need to be enlightened or else you will not walk in it. And funny enough, Christians will say that they don't believe in resurrection and they don't believe that you can walk in the glory of Jesus and his image in heaven on earth as Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, right? Or taught his disciples to pray, I should say, in Matthew chapter 6, that you know that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's another pretty simple verse. But people, though, funny enough, will say that the reason why they don't believe that you can actually walk in Jesus' resurrection power, which, no surprise, entails resurrecting people from the dead, right? And also that they don't believe that they themselves can walk in Jesus' resurrection power, which would mean it looks like the image of Jesus, right? Not growing old, not corrupting, not getting sick, not hurting, not being in pain anymore, physical pain. And they won't believe these things, and then they'll say, well, I don't believe it because I've never seen it before. Give me an example of somebody that has done that before. Give me an example of, and they'll point to experiential things, and the funny thing is, the cart is totally before the horse. They'll say, I don't believe it because I don't see this manifest in other people's lives. But the funny thing is, it's the opposite. It's that if you believe it, then you're going to see it manifest in your life. But you don't look to your life or other people's life first in order to believe it. You believe it in order to see it in your life and in other people's lives. That's if you believe, then you'll see the glory of God. And that verse in John chapter 11 is actually referring to resurrection. So there's a lot more I could show you with this, but I'll kind of just close up this little segment here with this in verse 11. Again, if by any means, he says if, because again, it is according to knowledge. Again, if you were talking about Jesus' second coming, he wouldn't have said if. If by any, and by any means is probably not the best translation. It just means like if indeed. By any means makes it sound like there are different means by which you can receive resurrection, which of course that's not true. It's all through Jesus' death, right? But if indeed, he is saying an if, right? It's a conditional thing. If I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, this is super important. And I'm probably just going to stop with this verse, even though I could go on a little further. But he's not as though I had already attained. Attained what? His resurrection, right? Now, whose resurrection is he talking about this whole time? Remember, verse 10 says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. So this is talking about Jesus' resurrection. Then verse 11 said, if indeed I might attain unto that resurrection. Whose? Jesus' resurrection. And then in verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained. What? Not as though I had already attained Jesus' resurrection. We know Paul has not attained unto Jesus' resurrection quite yet. He still can, right? It's never too late. People always pray for the sick, and when they die, they stop praying. Like, what? Why do you stop praying? You can keep praying for them now. They could have been dead for 12 years, and you can keep praying for them right now, right? It's like, resurrection power works whether you're sick and it's raising you from sickness or it's raising you from actual death. But not as though I had already attained. Attained what? I hadn't already attained, he's saying, Jesus, like, full resurrected image. Either were already perfect. He actually calls Jesus' resurrection image being made perfect here. Being made perfect. That's a pretty good word for Jesus' resurrected form. In fact, the whole book of Hebrews uses the word perfect for Jesus' resurrected form, saying that he was made perfect through sufferings, or that the law made nothing perfect. All of these things are talking about Jesus' resurrected form. And Paul does the same thing here. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I'm not saying I'm already perfect, but here's the important part. People will quote that verse, and they'll say, I'm not saying I'm already perfect. But Paul said in verse 11 that he believed he could attain it, though. That's where Paul differs from a lot of Christians, probably most Christians today. Christians will say, I'm not saying I've already become perfect, but they don't actually believe they ever can be perfect. That's a huge problem. You know why it's a huge problem? Because the power that you claim that's in you and that's toward you and that you can use, that raised Jesus from the dead, perfected Jesus. And if that same power is toward you, how is it possible that it can't perfect you? How is it even possible? I'm talking about your body. It perfected Jesus' mortal body. How is it, Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, how is it even possible that if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, how is it possible that he wouldn't also give life to your mortal bodies in the same fashion in which he gave life to Jesus' mortal body? Because if that's not true of you, if it's not true that you can be perfected in your body, in your youth, in your vision, your physical eyesight, if it is not true that you cannot be perfected in the fact that if you can't walk, now you can walk, perfected in strength, in the same fashion, to the same degree that Jesus has been perfected in his resurrection, if that is not true, then you do not have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. And you got to stop saying it then. Because if all these things are preposterous to say, then you don't have that power, or at the very, very least, it is not accessible to you at all. People would say that it's accessible to them and that, yeah, we can work in the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Well, then don't disagree that you can be perfected. Don't disagree that you can walk in perfect youth. And if you're going to go on saying that everybody gets old, and everybody corrupts, and sometimes we get sick, but we don't know why God does this. And if you're going to say all that, then just don't quote the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you thing. And don't quote that it's accessible to you or that it's toward you. It's so important to know what we're saying. You're saying more powerful things than you actually think when you say that the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and that it's toward you. You're saying more powerful things than you think. Paul knew that he could attain to this perfection, and that's why he was getting to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, if by that knowledge he might attain to the resurrection of the dead. And he hadn't obtained it just yet. In verse 13, he said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, what, this resurrection, but he was doing something to attain it. And what was he doing to attain it? Here's how you attain the resurrection of Jesus: forgetting the things that are behind. That means forgetting the things of this earth, forgetting what it's like to be human, forgetting what it's like to be without this power. Forget those old things and get to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, but forget to know, again, what it's like to be worldly and human. And he says he was reaching forth unto those things which are before, and I'm going to stop right there. those things which are before that he was reaching forward to through knowledge, that's talking about Jesus' resurrection again. That's why Hebrews chapter 6 actually uses a similar terminology and says that we can lay hold on that which is beyond the veil where our forerunner has entered for us, and that's talking about Jesus' resurrection. So much, so much, so much stuff I could say about that, but you can attain onto these things. You know, I really believe that there are people here in this room right now that you're going to see vast changes in your life, in other people's life. You're going to see remarkable changes in your body, and it will be a witness to other people about what we're talking about right now today, that you can be perfected in your body. Like people can't recognize you kind of stuff. That's like Jesus resurrected for him and his disciples couldn't recognize him. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. But you know what though? If you're someone that's debating with that in your mind, it's all right to debate a little bit at first and seek the Lord about it if you never heard it before, but if you're just going to continue to debate with it in your mind, you'll never receive this. Not until Jesus comes back, at least if you're a believer. It's so important. God has more for you to walk in, and that more is Jesus' perfection.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.